going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
One, when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Week from today, first round of the NFL draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin. What do you think the high temperature is going to be? Welcome to the show, by the way, Maggie Gray, Andrew Pearl. What's the weather that day in Green Bay?
48 degrees.
Balmy. Right when the first pick is being made.
Oh, I thought you had an answer.
No, the NFL definitely controls the weather, so I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Green Bay gets an unseasonable 70 or something like that.
Definitely.
As far as the guys who are going to be drafted, well, we turn to Dane Brugler, one of the foremost draft experts in our industry. He's from The Athletic, and he does this thing every year called The Beast, and it lives up to its name. Good morning, Dane. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, guys. How are you?
You know, we love The Beast. It's such a triumph when you do this every year, which is the most in-depth scouting, Pearl, on every draft-eligible person, basically, available. And I love it because you give the breakdowns, the strengths, the weaknesses, and also a little bit about the background of the person and some interesting tidbits, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But, Dane, wanted to first ask you about Travis Hunter, who's clearly one of the most interesting people to come along in a long, long time, not just this year. You put him only in the cornerbacks category. You did not list him in the wide receiver category. Why not?
Personally, I like him best as a corner. I think he could be a top three corner in the NFL over the next 3-4 years. But that's definitely a split opinion around the league. Some teams look at him and say, all right, I could have maybe a guy that could be a top three corner, or maybe he could be a top 10 receiver. And does that have better value for us? And you think about the Browns, especially at 2, they need offense in the worst way. 32nd in the league last year in offensive scoring, 32nd in the league in third down conversion rate. So, you know, we know they need a quarterback as well, but if they don't see a quarterback at 2, let's add a guy like Travis Hunter who could be that spark on offense that we desperately need. I also think, I mean, theoretically, doesn't it seem easier to be a full-time corner and then you mix in 25 plays a game on offense? As opposed to, you know, the other way where you're a full-time offensive player and then you try to fit him in on defense. That seems like it'd be tougher to do just in terms of preparation and meetings and personnel. But I certainly understand the split and the different ways you could go about it because he is so dynamic on both sides of the ball. And for certain teams, especially a team like the Browns, they need that help on offense.
Dame, what's your take on him playing full-time both ways?
In the NFL, like, there's no such thing as two primary positions. It's just we haven't seen it before. I don't think it's ever going to be a thing. Now, you can have a primary position and a secondary position, and I think that's where we get into the debate about what's his primary position. But, look, if anybody can, you know, excel with playing both ways, it's Travis Hunter because we've seen him do it consistently. And it's not just the athleticism that it takes, but the mental commitment to understand the playbook on both sides, to all the work that goes into it during the week. And just the sense that I get from teams is this: not only does he have the skills athletically, but the way he is bought in, like football is kind of what he does. He loves fishing. He loves his fiance, but football is kind of what he does. And so you feel good about there not being too many distractions that would keep him from that mental commitment needed to play both ways in the NFL.
Dane Brugler is joining us from The Athletic. He's got The Beast out now, which is, again, the most comprehensive place you can look for any and all of the profiles of all these draft-eligible guys. And not to just harp on Travis Hunter, but just one more question about him, Dane, because he is so unique. So you have him only listed as the corner. You have him as the top corner, obviously, going in this draft. As far as wide receivers, you have Teteroa McMillan, number one, Matthew Golden, two, Luther Burden, three, Emeka Ibuka, four. Do you think that Travis would crack that top four as far as wide receivers, or you didn't even go down that list?
Oh, no, he would be number, he would be wide receiver one in this class.
Okay.
If we're scouting him strictly as a receiver, he would be wide receiver one. And I think the more interesting way to frame it is, where would he be in last year's receiver class? Going up against Marvin Harrison Jr., yeah, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., Roma Dunze. Like, where would he fit in that mix? Because, again, this guy, the spark that he brings on offense is tremendous. I think he could be a top 10 receiver over the next, you know, 3-4 years throughout the life of his rookie contract. So definitely understand why a team would want him on offense. The upside on defense, like, he could be a real dude on defense, and that's kind of why I lean that way.
Dane, shifting over to Travis's teammate at Colorado, Shedeur Sanders, there was a report last week from Albert Breer who said that he can't find many scouts who grade Shedeur as a first-round talent, citing not the outside stuff with Deion being his dad, but that he doesn't have the physical tools of an elite quarterback. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, I've been pretty consistent on my opinion on Shedeur since the fall, and I took a lot of heat up for it back, you know, in Halloween when he's always been a late one, early two for me, kind of in that range where I see a path where he can start in the NFL. I mean, he's smart, polished, tough. There's poise to him. You love the fact that what he did when he came to the university with Colorado's 1-11 program in 2022, and then the last 2 years with Coach Prime and Shedeur and Travis Hunter, they had a above 500 record, and that's not easy to do, and a lot of that was on the quarterback. So there's a lot that I think he does that will translate to the NFL, but do I think he can be a top 12 to 14 quarterback? I mean, that's where I get hung up a little bit on him, because he doesn't have those top tier physical traits in terms of the arm strength, in terms of the mobility, the size. He doesn't have those physical traits. And then some of the things in the pocket really worry you. He drifts, he backpedals. He played behind a bad offensive line in college. No debate there. But some of those sacks that he took were on the quarterback. And you wonder, okay, is there scar tissue there playing behind an offensive line like that? I think he can start in the league. I just think that he's going to need help around him in order to be a consistent winner at the NFL level. And so that's how a lot of teams think. And it's going to be interesting on draft night, because if he gets past three, I don't think he's going to the Browns. Giants are always a wild card. We know they're desperate at quarterback. If he gets past three, then we're on Shedeur watch. And it's like, okay, where does he land at this point? I don't think he's going 9 to the Saints. Could we see a trade up into the middle of the first round? Sure, that's a possibility. What do the Steelers do at 21 if he's available? Is that someone that they would jump at? Do we see the Giants or the Browns trade up from round 2 into the 20s to go get Shedeur Sanders? It's going to be fascinating, the musical chairs that we're going to play at quarterback, if he does indeed fall out of the top 15, like I think teams believe that will happen.
Dane Brugler is joining us from The Athletic, one of the best draft analysts out there, and he has the beast, which is like appointment for me, appointment reading, because this is where I learn a lot about these draftees, because, you know, we watch them during the college season, but you get so much more with Dane. We're talking about the parents, the brothers and sisters, what happened in high school, what do they do off the field? It's really a masterpiece. So one guy, Dane, that's really been getting a lot of this late push is Tyler Shuck from Louisville. But obviously he wasn't just from Louisville. He also went to Oregon. He also went to Texas Tech. He played college football for 7 years. He's married. Like, I learned that from your column. Do you think this is real, this push? How high do you think he can go? And then just a quick strengths and weaknesses on Shuck.
Yeah, NFL teams love Shuck. I mean, like, it's, and I was kind of, I tried to get people prepared for this back in January at the Senior Bowl. My Senior Bowl preview, I said, look, Tyler Shuck might be the best quarterback here in terms of the traits, in terms of the ability. People get so hung up on the fact that he is a seventh-year senior and he'll be a 26-year-old rookie. And I mean, that's important context to understand the quarterback, but it's not a reason to not draft him. I think it is fascinating. He was the number two recruit in Oregon's recruiting class that year, 2018. Number one is Penei Sewell. Penei Sewell has been in the league for, you know, seems like 10 years now.
He's on a second contract.
Exactly. So it says a little bit about how long Tyler Shuck's been playing. And this past year, it's not just that he's an older player. It's the medical situation. This past year at Louisville is the first time in those 7 years he played more than 8 games in a season because of injuries. And so the medical part of this will be a big part of where he lands. He's going to go probably top 40 somewhere, though, because there's enough love around the league. And, you know, he could be the third quarterback taken, could be the fourth, could be the fifth. There's a lot of love for him around the league because of, you know, the twitch in his arm. He's big, prototypical size. He can move pretty well. If he were a fourth-year senior, 22 years old, I think we'd be comfortably talking about him as a firm first-round pick. Maybe, you know, the firm quarterback too. And so some teams, that's already how they look at him. Mm-hmm. Other teams, understandably, the medicals and all of that. But it's just, it's going to be a fascinating, another reason, you know, throw in Jalen Milroe, throw in Jackson Dart. All these quarterbacks are a little bit different and teams look at them a little bit different. There's no consensus in terms of who's quarterback two, quarterback three from team to team. Shuck is very much in that conversation for several of them.
Another quarterback who was invited to Green Bay, actually, one of 17 players invited to Green Bay was Jalen Milroe out of Alabama. Another polarizing guy. I've seen you have him in mocks at the top of the second round, right around Shuck. Any chance that Jalen Milroe goes in the first round?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's possible. And I think if you bet on the upside, you understand why. It's interesting when you track his season. Mid-season, he was looking like maybe a first-round pick. You watch the Wisconsin tape. You watch the Georgia tape. He was phenomenal. And what he does with his arm, with his legs, he had 16 passing touchdowns this year. Those 16 passing touchdowns averaged 36 yards per touchdown. So he's making explosive plays through the air. On the ground, he had 12 rushing touchdowns of 10-plus yards. That's no other quarterback at the FBS level has done that the last 25 years. Lamar Jackson's the only guy close. So he has that explosive ability. It's just, does he have the consistency as a passer to work from the pocket, be accurate, make the right decisions? And you feel like he has shown that at times, but then you watch the Oklahoma tape, then you watch the Michigan tape, and that's when doubt starts to creep into your mind. But nonetheless, this is the type of guy you would love to draft. Me personally, I would love to draft him early third round, develop him. But I don't think he's going to last that long. Teams are really intrigued with him and what he could be 2 years from now, 3 years from now. So he's, along with Shuck, along with Jackson Dart, somewhere in that top 50 mix. Team like the Browns, team like the Giants. I do like the fit with the Giants, just, you know, obviously having Russell Wilson there, Jameis Winston. You can bring in Milroe as the third guy, bring him along at his own pace. You're not going to push him onto the field before he is ready. So, yeah, it's, again, it's an exercise of quarterback musical chairs to see where these guys end up.
Dane Brugler with us from The Athletic for just a couple more minutes, talking about all these draft-eligible guys who he does all the in-depth research about it. Away from the quarterbacks just for a moment, I know that's sacrilegious, but going to Abdul Carter, who's obviously your number one pass rusher here. As far as weaknesses go, Dane, am I right to be a little concerned about the stress reaction in the right foot and the fact that, you know, we were told, all right, not working out at the combine, but don't worry, he'll work out the pro day. Then we get the pro day, not going to work out at the pro day. I mean, this guy looks like he could be at some point one of the great pass rushers. You know, what we saw in college was outstanding. How scared, though, or how nervous are NFL front offices about that foot?
Yeah, it's definitely something that you know, needs to be discussed, and teams are discussing that. But really, teams don't think he's falling past four, and Carter doesn't think he's falling past four. He only took four visits, and so he thinks he's going two to the Browns, three to the Giants, four to the Patriots. And I think that I understand why he thinks that, but, you know, the foot injury is something that will come up and something that, you know, takes a little bit of a leap of faith that, hey, this will be okay because there's no surgery. It's just we're going to rest it. It's going to recover. It's going to heal on its own. And so, you know, just not pushing it too much. Does that mean he's going to be ready for training camp? All signs say yes. Mm. So I think when it's all said and done, Giants at three, assuming they don't take a quarterback, you just go blue chip, go the best player available. Good chance that will be Abdul Carter. You already have, you know, Brian Burns. You paid him last year. Kayvon Thibodeau's still on this roster. But when you're drafting top three, top five, you don't draft positions. You draft players. You know, you get the blue chip guys, the top tier players in each draft. This year, there's two of them, and three if you want to include Cam Ward, four if you want to include Ashton Jeanty, a running back. So Browns, best player available, in my opinion, best player in the draft, Travis Hunter. Giants, second best player in the draft, Abdul Carter. I think it makes sense.
I have a question I've been staring at. If you're watching us on YouTube, it's a Raiders helmet behind you. That is Mount Union Raiders, correct?
That is. That my alma mater, yeah.
Right, because I thought it might be Colgate Raiders. I was very confused, and nothing to do with Las Vegas Raiders.
No. Hey, a lot of people don't see that, and they don't think Mount Union. So, you know, credit to you for knowing that. Yeah, Pierre Garçon and I were seniors together back in the day at Mount Union, and kind of put me on my path to scouting, and obviously a D3 powerhouse. So, yeah, definitely a proud alum.
I had to Google it. I didn't know off the top of my head that was Mount Union. But that's
trying to give you the props. Yeah, okay.
Just take the compliment.
You know, one thing you have much more access to it with your research in the Beast. You hear character issues, and it's always very vague. One guy who was originally in mock drafts all year long, James Pierce, Tennessee, and he's fallen. You know, for people who don't know the backstory there, why is a guy like that, who is obviously supremely talented, often not talked about as a first-round prospect now?
Well, and it's tough talking about the character stuff because, you know, those of us on the outside, we're taking secondhand information, right?
Exactly.
You know, it is always tough talking about it, but as one scout put it to me, I just want to be convinced that he loves this. And so, you know, I think that just goes into the questions with Pierce, is making sure that, hey, and you know, like, you don't, there's a lot of guys in the NFL currently who don't just love football. Like, it's the most important thing for them. But I have to be able to be convinced that you are at least going to treat it like a priority. It's going to be your job. It's, you know, you're going to do everything you can to get the most out of your ability to earn your paycheck. And I think that's where teams are hung up with James Pierce. And he's talented enough that teams aren't just saying, well, I don't know, so we're not going to consider him. He's been on a lot of 30 visits, a lot of workouts, because teams know that there's ability there. They see the talent. And so they are putting in the due diligence to figure out, okay, just how much of a concern is this? How much is this maybe just, he's 21 years old, you know? Like, it's really understanding who a player is, what makes him tick, how he's wired. That's always easier said than done. And so that's why he's been on a lot of visits as teams try to figure him out. If he ends up, draft night comes and he ends up going, 19 to the Bucks, I wouldn't be a total shock. If he ends up falling to the early second round, that wouldn't be a surprise either. So he really will be a wild card on draft night.
This is what you get from Dane Brugler's Beast, not only about, you know, James Pierce was arrested on traffic charges that were eventually dismissed in 2023, but also he was a pescatarian first 2 years of Tennessee. So you know that. Dane, I always like asking you this question when we seem like we do this every year. And again, thanks for your time. The most interesting nugget, like off the field, like interesting, because you do all this research about these guys and not just their 40 times and hand sizes and all that stuff we can get anywhere. But when you do the deep dive, what were the most interesting one or two nuggets you found out about these draft eligible dudes?
Yeah, and there's a lot of them. You know, the Georgia defensive lineman Nazir Stackhouse is going to be drafted. He battles narcolepsy. And so there are times during meetings where a teammate will tell me that he dozes off, or in games, longer games, he wishes he could take a nap. Like, it's something that he battles with. Jamari Caldwell, the defensive tackle from Oregon. You know, you hear about walk-ons, you hear about JUCOs. He's the rare walk-on out of JUCO, and I think that says something about his football passion. And then I think the best story of all is Siobhan Revelle, East Carolina. All the adversities, you can read about it in the Beast, all the adversities he's went through. But he was working at an Amazon fulfillment center. His JUCO, he went to JUCO football. It was canceled with COVID. So he's working overnight at an Amazon fulfillment center, and he worked a 6 p.m. to 4 a.m. shift. And a couple hours later, he's in the car going to East Carolina for a tryout. And his dad actually sent me the video. He was sitting in the stands of him running the 40, and then the coach kind of running him down, showing him the stopwatch and saying, okay, you've got a scholarship. And he was able to turn that into a big time 2023 season, projected first rounder. And then this past September, tore his ACL. It's like, all right, how much adversity can this guy take? But he's unfazed. He knows football is his future. And, you know, he'll be drafted probably somewhere in the second round on Friday night. And, you know, just he's not a guy I'm going to bet against.
One of those feel-good stories. I also did not know that Teteroa McMillan, standout volleyball player. So thank you, Dane. The Beast is a beast. So thank you. You can read it on The Athletic. Dane, have a great final week here before the draft, and enjoy next Thursday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Can't wait. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate that.
Thanks.
Dane Brugler, the Beast.
Yeah. Did you know the purple Raiders hat was Mount Union?
Neither did you, apparently. You
no, I saw Raiders.
Just
I got real excited because, you know, I'm a lifelong Colgate football fan. No, my mom's from where Colgate is. So I saw Raiders. I'm like, oh, I wonder if Dane played at Colgate. Maybe it was at Mount Union, which we know because there are NFL guys who come out of there.
Well, you said Pierre Garçon.
And there's another, where'd Victor Cruz go? He went to UMass?
He went to UMass.
Same thing. We'll give him all.
Sure.
Oh, no, how about that? There's another Mount Union player in the NFL. Research team, please hit it, and we will vamp. No, I'm just kidding. There's somebody else, right? Help me out. Anyway.
You're treating me like Google. I don't know. Pierre Garçon, I thought, was a good one.
That's a great one.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Who is it?
That kind of, that kind of explains why Dane is like gets so deep into these smaller school guys. And you weren't kidding. He gets so deep.
Oh, my gosh. I remember there was a detail once about a beast a couple years ago with Zach Wilson. And it was that he was like the type of medication that he takes. I was like, whoa, I didn't even know this kind of info was out there. And that's just some of the stuff. But then you get really great stories. You get some lighthearted stuff, too. You know what I find is really the big thing? All the parents were athletes. Not necessarily pros, but it's like the mom was a commit to play softball at Oregon, and the dad played it, blah, blah, blah. And it's always that. Who is it?
It's Nick Sirianni. That's what we're talking about. That's why we're always talking about Mount Union. And people are like, oh, he's got that Mount Union attitude.
We're not always talking about that. That's your Eagles text thread.
But people say that Mount Union formed Nick Sirianni's personality. And apparently, because I see Dane Brugler, who is calm and logical and smart, and I see Nick Sirianni yelling at fans. I don't know. Like, Mount Union obviously has a wide range of outcomes.
It's in Alliance, Ohio. Mount Union.
Is it? Oh, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sirianni is the one. That's like the only reason we've been talking about them. Not a lot of NFL players. Cecil Shorts went there.
There you go. Manny, look like you have more to say.
No, I was just, you know, your crack research team back here actually went to research, and then he found the information himself. But yeah, no, I let out a little exasperated sigh after I saw Nick Sirianni. I was like, of course.
So wait, did Sirianni play there, right?
I mean, listen, man, I just went on Wikipedia's page and said he's a notable alumni on that thing, so.
Alliance, Ohio, which is 70 miles from Cleveland and 80 miles from Pittsburgh.
I wonder a guy like
that's football country right there.
Not to focus too much on Dane, but that feels like a guy an NFL team could hire tomorrow.
Oh, like part of the research team?
Yeah, like bring him in on a team. It happens that a lot of people who know Pro Football Focus have switched over and work for teams now. I feel like an NFL team listens to him and be like, yeah, that's a guy we could use in our scouting department. I don't know if he would ever do that, but he seems easily talented enough.
You know, it's funny because we've worked with a few people who have gone on to work for front offices in very different ways. Like our pal Luke Wynn, who covered college basketball for a long time for Sports Illustrated, ended up in the Raptors front office and is still there. And we just saw him at the SI reunion over the summer. And then our pal Lee Jenkins, who is like one of the great NBA writers, broke LeBron James going back to Cleveland and many other things. He's been with the Clippers now for a really long time, but Lee's not an analytics guy. He's like I don't even know what Lee does there, quite frankly. He's definitely part of the brain trust. He's always there in the front and always there around Steve Ballmer. I think he's like not a vibes guy. It's way more than that. It's like a research guy. Yeah. Like, he really digs deep on the psychology of these guys.
He's like, what is it you do around here? But I mean, like,
no, but Lee is one of the best.
Our guy Daryl Morey used to feed stats to the Dan Patrick Show in 1999. He was at he worked for Stats Inc. or one of the, and then Eric Eager left PFF and now is with the Panthers.
Andy Benoit,
Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator, and Kevin O'Connell, I think, did a tour at PFF. A lot of guys, it's Andy Benoit, as I like to call him.
Yeah,
there's a lot of, but I think like, would that surprise you if one day you heard that Dane was brought in to be a scout for
I'd be bummed about it, quite frankly. Yeah. Not for myself, selfishly, because I rely on the beast quite a bit.
Right. I mean, that is like the ultimate compliment.
NBA draft people from YouTube and people who have done stuff have been getting plucked left and right. It's been actually crazy, like the amount of work. And it's cool to see, because you see people who literally just start a YouTube channel and then they're working for like Portland Trailblazers, but that's a big thing, too, in the NBA as well.
Do you remember this guy named Haralabob Vulgaris? He's kind of big on Twitter and stuff. Bill Simmons used to have him on his pod a lot. He's like a gambler. And the Dallas Mavericks hired him to be like really high up in the front office. Yep. What? Why are you looking at me like that, man?
I'm listening. This is my listening face.
That's your listening face? It was like a womp womp.
I wonder if he gave the green light for the Luka trade.
No, he was long gone.
Oh.
I don't think he and Rick Carlisle saw eye to eye. They're both gone. 888-710-4ISN. But one will be coaching in the playoffs starting this weekend. 888-710-4476. Where a lot of people think that Indiana could upset the Milwaukee Bucks. And then we're all on Giannis watch for the rest of the summer. So
future Nick.
Put that in your pipes. Okay, coming up, lots more to do, including one quarterback doesn't want to be friends with any other quarterback. Who? Why? We'll break it all down next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. That was great having the Athletic's Dane Brugler on, publisher of The Beast, the ultimate draft guide. You notice, Maggie, who we did not ask about or nobody's really talking about?
Cam Ward.
Cam Ward? Oh, yeah. How'd you know I was going to say that?
I was thinking the same thing.
I just looked at the odds. This is from Pro Football Talk, DraftKings, minus 20,000 favorite to be the number one overall pick. I can't even do the math.
I'm going to lay a lot on that.
If we lay $1,000, what do we get on that? 20 cents?
Maybe breakfast.
Not breakfast. Not in this.
Is someone going to drop that bet? I'm curious. Cam Ward just slides into Tennessee. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the only one who people can kind of agree on. Well, and even people don't think he would be number one in any other draft.
Yeah, definitely. The odds are shifting pretty strongly. Number two, Travis Hunter, minus 350. Number three, Abdul Carter, minus 300. That's pretty big.
So
three to one.
Just to let you know what Dane did write, one sentence that did stand out about Cam Ward, because I did read the I read the profile on him. With his talent and intangibles, he projects as an NFL starter in the mold of a taller, slower version of Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I could see that. Improvisational.
So there you go.
I still like the Mahomes. I think you can compare a quarterback to Patrick Mahomes without saying he's going to be as great as Patrick Mahomes, because he throws from odd angles just like Mahomes. So
yeah, but actually, apparently some scouts don't like the low arm angle. So that's one of the weaknesses that it can be looked at as. That I was reading this. Hold on, let me get it for you.
Right, but doesn't Mahomes do that?
So this is a weakness, according to the Beast. Low, almost sidearm throwing slot will be an issue for some NFL coaches.
Yeah. Until he slings that down the slot like he did in Miami. EJ, how many times did that work?
Oh, yeah, I mean, he throws cannons with that sidearm release. I was going to say, did you guys see during his, he was streaming video games and they were asking, you know, he's talking about his favorite players, favorite wide receivers, you know, Treylon Burke and Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, best running back in the league, TyJ Spears.
Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard. I was like, oh.
See,
yeah,
he gets
weird.
It. He
best
gets
NFL
it.
Coach, Brian Callahan. Number two, Kevin Stefanski.
Best stadium, Nissan Stadium.
I mean, listen, this dude knows what's coming. So it's not that interesting. But to be honest, I'm still intrigued by the draft because it's such a closely guarded secret of what the Browns are doing.
Well, it seems
and the
like
Giants.
But these are pretty good odds. I mean, it does seem like everybody, you can't make any money off Travis Hunter there anymore. Doesn't seem that close on Cleveland. New York is a little more mysterious. I'm not hearing anything except Travis Hunter at Cleveland.
So Joe Shane spoke yesterday, and I was curious if Bogish and Manny, who are big Giants fans around here, were you hanging on every word from Shane, who is clearly a genius, as we learned last year in Hard Knocks. He's got this draft thing under control. I'm just kidding. Did you feel like you got anything either way from Joe Shane? They're working out Shedeur Sanders today in Colorado.
Yeah, I think we're not taking a quarterback at three. But
you think so?
Sometime after that, we're taking a quarterback.
I mean,
why work out Shedeur?
You barely even got. Actually, I got like we might not take one later. That's what I heard.
Yeah, same here.
I can't. I just can't imagine that is what's going on here.
I mean, Maggie could be right. This could all be smoke, lying season.
I just don't think it was a lie. When the owner said months and months ago, if we don't come out of this draft with a long-term answer at quarterback, I'm going to be disappointed. And they came away this offseason with Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. So, I don't know. But again, the Pittsburgh Steelers owner said he wanted to keep Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, and obviously they didn't keep either of them. So, maybe everyone doesn't follow the owner's orders, but guys on the hot seat, I think, do.
Well, I got to tell you, though, they're at 34 in the second round. That's a great spot to get a quarterback. Wouldn't that solve the problem, too? Just coming, you said they have to come away with a quarterback, so get Abdul Carter and then come away with either Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, or Tyler Shuck. Doesn't that solve the problem?
It does. You know, we had this conversation yesterday off the air because we're nerds and this is just what we talk about even when we're not talking into microphones about where the second round has really kind of been a wasteland for quarterbacks. You got your outliers about Jalen Hurts and Boomer Esiason.
There you go. Oh, no, we did this last week when you were off.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Drew Brees, right?
Oh, there's tons of
No, you do. But over history,
exactly.
We're going to, but I'm saying recently.
They wrote me off. I ain't right back, though.
Also, Boomer as a second round pick was a comically low draft number because the league was smaller
Yeah. Also,
what the
Geno
hell was that
Smith.
All about?
I mean, yes, you can get good guys. Well, Geno took 10 years for him to become a thing, but.
Randall Cunningham, let's not forget him.
Okay, but again, what year was that?
These are throwing darts at a dartboard, though.
Well,
like, there's so many bums.
We give you bad first round picks too.
Oh, totally. But what I'm saying is, like, to be
Jones.
Like, here's the strategy. We do need to find a quarterback in the future, so we're going to get him in the second round. Generally, that doesn't work.
Okay. Yes. Right. History will tell you that the truly legendary quarterbacks are taken very early in the first round.
A.C. Adam.
But that guy doesn't exist in this draft after Cam Ward. That's the problem. The problem is that Shedeur Sanders is good enough to not, or is bad enough to not take at number three.
Right.
Like he is, you can pass over Shedeur Sanders or something else because of your of the limitations of him as a prospect. This conversation would not be happening if Shedeur was better or there's a different combination of guys in this draft.
Well, it'd be a totally different conversation because you might have to jump Cleveland. Like, you know, there's also a positive of this, which is you're sitting there at three, and besides Cam, you could have your take. Like, at some point, you have to take a risk. Your quarterback, you know, you haven't replaced him since Eli Manning. Daniel Jones was not the answer.
I just go back to that question, though, with Shedeur, where, again, if you had a quarterback who went from HBCU, went to a school, turned him around, threw for 4,000 yards, and his wide receiver won the Heisman. I just think that quarterback never doesn't
go high
profile as a first-round pick.
Right, right.
So what, like, that's where I'm having the trouble. I know we're talking about his physical traits, he's tall enough or whatever. I just feel like we've seen them throw that book out the window in terms of physical traits and how tall you are for other guys.
Totally.
So that's why the Shedeur thing doesn't make sense.
Smaller and slighter than him.
Yeah, so, like, I get that maybe he's not, you know, Drake May or Justin Herbert in terms of physical traits, but a guy who did the things that he does typically goes in the first round. So I'm trying to figure out what else is Deion that much of a factor?
Yes.
What's going on?
Yes, I think it's Deion. I agree with you. Like, it's got to be something else. It's not him, is it? I mean, it's not his personality. I know that he's a little brash. He wears flashy, and he did call out his lineman, even though Mel Kiper said he did not. But still, it's got to be Deion.
I don't know. But yeah, the idea that he's going backwards behind a bad offensive line, like, no kidding. Also, they're not finished products when they get when they come to the NFL as rookies. But anyway, let's get to Bogus's headlines.
Wait, can I say one more thing about Shedeur? Watch any highlight. Every analyst is like, he's the best in this class of reading progressions. He just doesn't have any mobility. And the highlights underneath are him running out of tackles and throwing the ball with these funny arm angles with seven guys chasing him. He's never dropping back and throwing a touchdown pass. I've laughed so much at ESPN. Sorry, go ahead, folks.
If you're down
John Medeski,
24 points by halftime at home, did you really make the play in? The Bulls took it on the chin last night, eventually losing to the Heat 109-90, ending their season. Head coach Billy Donovan.
The disappointing part was we didn't play to our identity. You know, we just didn't. And I talked before the game about the turnovers. You know, we had, we had 10, you know, or 11 in the first half. And you give up 23 points at this point in time. You can't win like that. It's hard.
You also can't win, giving up 38 to Tyler Hero. He and Miami off to Atlanta for another elimination game tomorrow night. Things only a little closer in Sacramento in the nightcap. The Kings falling at home to the Mavs, 120-106. 27 points for Anthony Davis, 23 from Klay Thompson. Dallas plays in Memphis tomorrow night for the West 8 seed. The Kings, meanwhile, expected to part ways with GM Monty McNair after 5 seasons. It might be a mutual separation as far as McNair realizing this wasn't a good spot for him anymore because of ownership. But enough with the current NBA. Let's go back to Pearl's heyday, the 80s Celtics. There was a time where Robert Parrish was fighting for a new contract in Boston, and Larry Bird didn't necessarily come to Parrish's defense. Parrish told part of this story on the new Celtics documentary. Chris Mad Dog Russo then asked Parrish for more info yesterday on SiriusXM.
I didn't harbor any animosity, no resentment towards Larry. Matter of fact, I didn't even mention it to Larry. My opinion was, if that's the way he feels, that's the way he feels. But I also told myself, if that motherfucker ever needed my help, God help him.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. Robert Parrish, out of nowhere, dropping that word.
Well, I'm sorry. What was the original? Larry didn't come to his defense about what?
It was a contract thing, and I guess Bird, this is what Parrish said. Bird told reporters, like, we'd be okay if Robert left. Instead of being like, we need Robert, we should pay Robert. He didn't come and go, hey,
we got to keep him.
He said that publicly.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, Larry, I mean, didn't care.
Larry Bird. True story. Larry Bird was like the original, I hate to say it to him because it's kind of disrespectful, but he was the original Kobe Bryant. He was ruthless when it came to his teammates.
Teammates, right. If you're not helping me win, I've got no use for you.
Yeah.
He's like Jordan in that way.
Yeah, he would talk bad about them in the press, kill them in the locker room. Like, he had the Larry Legend mentality that then became the Mamba mentality.
Yeah. Man, do that to the Chief.
Yeah, and then do that to Doggy, who, by the way, had a really big show yesterday because he also had 89-year-old golf legend Gary Player on.
Oh,
and
Gary's a great interview.
This is how he said goodbye again to 89-year-old Gary Player.
You are the best. Stay alive.
Oh, my goodness.
True story.
Don't you go dying on me.
I think Gary Player, I think he still does like 100 sit-ups and 100 push-ups a day.
I don't know, but stay alive.
Like, do you have any control over that?
I mean, I guess the sit-ups and the push-ups?
Yeah, maybe. I guess I'll get on that.
I'll do my best.
I don't think
Doggy.
I can do 2 push-ups.
You are the best. Stay alive.
I might say goodbye to everyone like that.
Whoa.
At what age does that become like a reality where you got to start saying that?
I don't want to. I mean, in this day and age,
it depends on the person.
Like, I think so. Like, look at Pete Carroll. He just got a head coaching job at 73. And nobody's like, is he too old? We're all like, yes, Pete Carroll's back.
Yeah, I'm more nervous about Manny than Pete Carroll. Manny, stay alive, okay? Get here tomorrow.
You are the best. Stay alive.
Manny's got a really big afternoon set up of eating a McDonald's chicken sandwich in his car.
All alone. Like God intended to.
They were saying, like, I see a lot of videos on social media, people eating in their cars, like trying new foods, but the video is taken in the car. And I don't love that because I feel like when I find myself eating alone in my car, like, I'm not proud of myself. Like, I'd rather be eating anywhere than alone
love
in my car.
Love that solitude.
Maggie, you got to be more careful about your algorithm because the thing is, you know, if you just watch one of those, just one, you're doomed for life.
Some guy was trying a new bakery around where I live. Yeah. And so he's like, I got a chocolate thing. And I watched it. So I'm like, maybe I should stop at this place. Yeah. Anyway.
Once you get past, 4 seconds on that video, you were getting 1,000 people eating in their
car.
Is
that the cutoff? Really?
I don't know. It's less than that. It's a moving target, but it's not long.
It's either people eating in their cars or dudes getting into fist fights on golf courses.
Stay alive.
What are you watching?
That's my algorithm. And I don't like fight videos. I'm not like, I'm not clicking on that stuff.
That's kind of 40% of Barstool Sports is content.
Maybe I follow too many of their people.
Who wouldn't watch a golf fight? I don't know. Also, those are fascinating.
They're always brawls too, because it's like a foursome versus another
but
foursome.
But no one ever ends up getting severely hurt that I know of.
Why are you so mad on the 14th fairway?
Because everyone's so drunk.
I think because you're waiting, it's a frustrating place. If somebody was behind me, they would just beat me up, and I would understand.
Maybe Dog was right to say that to Gary Player.
If you step to Gary Player, it's your funeral.
I mean, listen, Rory gave the silent treatment to Bryson DeChambeau. It's a brutal place, this golf course. Yeah.
You see, his psychologist came out and explained that.
Yeah.
They said they wanted him to be in a cone of silence.
Yeah, I mean, the other alternative, he was going to repeat everything that Bryson said right back to him. Hey, how are you looking at that putt? How are you looking at that putt?
Cocoon of silence is also what I call my time when I'm eating alone in my car.
I've seen my two daughters get into a fist fight over the repeat game that little kids play.
It's the worst.
And when I say my two daughters, I mean me and my two daughters. If they've done that to you, Bogues, you know what this.
And your poor wife, who's like a high-level educator, just sitting there watching this happen in her house.
Oh. Maggie, does your son do that?
Not yet, but he has done the...
Has he learned that game?
No, he's learned the... Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, that was
why?
The worst.
Like, who taught you that? Was it that little girl, Amabelle?
Yeah, Amabelle. And that little smile. I'm sure like a little smile's creeping up in his face by the eighth why.
Why, Mommy? Why, Mommy? Like,
because. 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 Because why?
I had a camper who kept asking why, and I eventually just had to, because society says so, buddy. I don't know what to tell you.
That's what you get. I don't know, because the sun is above the earth. That's why.
Why? And then he looked even more, and then I got another
guy.
All right.
Why?
Bro. Just go play, bro. I'm eating my car. Leave me alone.
Yeah, let me enjoy this McChicken in peace.
Why are you?
And your car's gonna smell like BO.
Why are you eating a McGriddle in your Nissan Altima alone
crying.
On the side of the road?
Listening to Rage Against the Machine, which I just sent to Manny.
I had a camper. No, you were just parked next to a playground eating your lunch. Oh, and no, he came to your window.
Nah, come on.
All right, 888-710-4ISN. Do you eat in your car? And if so, do you feel good about it?
truckers will back me up on this one.
Well, if you're, it's your job, it's your
job. Call in, truckers.
That's different. Okay, coming up, what's going on between Tennessee and their former quarterback?
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run. Everything baseball, all season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We get to that next. Welcome back, Maggie Perloff. Oh. The Bee Gees, John Travolta, yes.
I get it. It's a Stay Alive line. Manny, brilliant, because we just finished the last segment. What did Mad Dog say?
Mad Dog Russo interviewed Gary Player, who's 89 years old. Bogish played this for us last segment, and as he's giving his sign-off to Gary, said, Stay Alive.
You are the best. Stay alive.
Wow.
Well, how's Manny, Gary supposed to say that? I'd be like right back at you, man. Who do you think's healthier right now, Gary Player or Mad Dog Russo? He's got a healthier lifestyle. Whose blood pressure is lower?
I mean, the fact that Mad Dog's head hasn't exploded after all these years, I think he's going to live to a healthy old age.
I've got two gummies and I've got two nickels on.
Yeah. Yes, the amount of gummies that he takes sometimes on the air. Okay, we put a poll question up on X. Who will come out looking better in the end, Nico Iamaliava or Tennessee?
So True story.
Who's going to look better after this divorce?
I'll bet you Tennessee won that poll.
93%. Like, yeah. It's funny because, Manny, let's play the clip from Urban Meyer, can we? Because Urban Meyer, and I don't think this is like a Florida-Tennessee thing. I don't think it's a rivalry thing. I don't think he's just dunking on Tennessee for, you know, for the heck of it. But Urban Meyer on his Triple Option podcast was not bullish here on what Tennessee just did. In fact, he says they're in big trouble.
Here's the reality is Tennessee is screwed. I mean, they are. they got a problem.
Yeah, big time. Let's play cut eight next because Urban Meyer, who knows how rabid fan bases are after coaching and winning titles at Florida and Ohio State, says Tennessee fans may like this now, but you get into the season and you start losing games, it's going to be different.
Everybody's saying, hey, nice job, Tennessee, making a stand. I got a little comment on that. Tennessee plays Florida usually every year in October. Can you imagine if the game's going the other way and Coach Heupel grabs a microphone and stands on the 50-yard line in Neyland Stadium and says, hey, it's okay, I made a stand way back when.
Yeah, he'd get booed out of the stadium. And Urban Meyer's not wrong here, Pearl. He understands like the fickle nature of being a fan. You know, this is our right as fans. We get to cheer you when we want. We get to boo you when we want. We can have revisionist history when we want. We can say, I told you so. All that stuff. So he's saying that Tennessee is going to ultimately pay the price here.
Well, I just felt that some of Josh Heupel's comments were a little strange. He said, nobody is bigger than the program. This is a college football era where guys stay at a college for 1 year. There is, like, everybody's bigger than the program. I mean, Tennessee would take the top transfer guy. They're about to poach somebody from someone else. Every coach would leave. No, every coach would leave for a better deal. Like, this is not a sport where guys are really tied to the program like the NFL, because it's, first of all, you're only there for 4 years in the best of circumstances. And now with the transfer portal, everyone's bigger than the program. Everyone's for sale. This is kind of business as usual. It's just, he didn't show up for practice. That was where Nico really screwed himself. Like, he was technically holding out. I think that he could have done it a different way.
Well, yeah. I mean, he felt like he was owed more money. I think he got the power dynamic wrong, right? Where you're right. I mean, everyone's a free agent. There's no more loyalty. But he thought he was worth a lot more. And here's the thing. The one thing to me that Josh Heupel has going for him here, or Urban Meyer says that Tennessee is screwed, but the one thing he has going for him here is that he saw Nico in the building every single day. And Nico asked for more money. And if they thought that this was the difference between a national title and not making the college football playoff, well, Josh Heupel, he's a good coach, but he's not like it's not like he's so different from everybody else. They'd find the $2 million, the $1 million. They'd find the money to keep him happy if they really thought he was worth this money. If this was Joe Burrow coming back to LSU for another year, you'd find whatever the price was that he said. I think they saw him in the building and said, you know what? We can do this without you.
Do you think Tennessee's better today than they were yesterday?
They're not, but they're also a team that I think can win with defense and running in a run game, and did a lot of that last year. Now, they were expecting Nico to probably take a pretty gigantic step forward this season to live up to that $4 million.
I mean, do you think that Nico would have been the quarterback if he didn't ask for more money? So, yes, of course he would have. So, I don't know. This idea that, like, oh, he wasn't that good, we could just move on, that seems overly optimistic to me. I think they're going to probably be disappointing this year.
888. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, they were in the playoff. They're not making the playoff this year.
888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Coming up, so what the heck is going on in Pittsburgh? Why hasn't Aaron Rodgers signed yet? Are they going to draft a quarterback? And what's the vibe? Andrew Filippone is going to join us from Pittsburgh next. Don't move.